From legendary locals we all know to people you should get to know. Follow Ipswich Today on your favourite app and never miss an episode. Or go to ipswichtoday.com.au. Coming up, Ipswich votes for more change with four new councillors set to be declared as counting continues this week. Meanwhile, Teresa Harding retains the top job as mayor. A massive swing puts Darren Zano as the new member for Ipswich West, and the ECQ under heavy criticism for the way this election was run. Former councillor Cheryl Bromage joins the show again to unpack the results so far. It's Tuesday, March 19, 2024, and I'm Alan Roebuck. Welcome to Ipswich Today, which acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land on which it is produced and pays respects to elders past, present and emerging. This podcast is supported by Kinetics, people-powered web hosting trusted by Australian businesses since 1999. I caught up with Cheryl Bromage late Monday afternoon at the point when 50 to 60% of councillor votes and 70% of the mayor votes were counted. Thank you for speaking with Ipswich Today, Cheryl Bromage.
Hi, Alan. Hi, everyone.
The dust is still settling from both the council election and Ipswich West by-election. What do you make of it all?
Oh, well, what a weekend. I think there was some upsets, and I think there was people who were a little bit shocked, and there was other people who I think, well, that's the way I thought it was going to go. So I've got some mixed emotions and comments from people, but you get that no matter what goes on.
Looking at the council race for mayor, there'll be obvious disappointment from David Martin. He's been working 4 years on this campaign and while holding down a full-time job. I thought it might have been just a little bit closer at the end of the day.
I thought it would have been, but looking at the figures so far that's come in, I think some of the independents have actually taken some of the percentages from David rather than what would have gone to Teresa. So I'm wondering if that vote split didn't help David in the end.
It's interesting too that both Teresa Harding and David Martin did increase or have increased their percentage of the vote.
They do, but I think once again it's the dilution of people actually going to other people and under independents that actually have affected the overall vote at the end, and to win with less than 50% of the vote. I think that's quite an interesting statistic there.
Let's look at the divisions. Division 1, Jacob Madsen looks safe as one of two councillors. Can Pye Augustine keep her slim lead over Simon Ingram?
Well, I think the boost that had come in is some of Pye's heartland, especially around the Redbank Plains area. So I think she could just scrape over the line, but as we know, the ECQ are very slow at doing this updating. So time will tell.
Division 2, I've always said it was a certainty for Tully and Jonick, so no surprises there.
No surprises there, and it'll be interesting to see what happens in that seat over the next 4 years.
I think all eyes are on Division 3 at the moment, even those people who don't live in Division 3. The Greens, firstly, failed to make the impact that they themselves predicted. Andrew Antonelli is increasing his slim margin over Andrew Fechner. Is that a surprise?
Andrew has a lot of supporters, I think, who feel some sympathy for him, and he's known in the majority of the area, not all of it, especially down around Collingwood Park area, because that's not normally an area that he would have represented before. But it's interesting that the Greens made the decision to run in council as a team than running as a individual candidate in the seat of Ipswich West that would have given preferences across to Labor. So I think it's quite an interesting way that they actually had put their thought process together.
Yeah, priority on council, and they ignored the by-election.
Yes, absolutely, which could have made a difference, maybe.
Into Division 4, your previous heartland, or part of it at least, is Russell Milligan is now looking for a new job. Is that a surprise?
It is a surprise because we knew that Jim and Russell were sort of working together because we saw that they had the same signatories who actually endorsed them on their nomination forms. So we just assumed that those two would work a little bit more closely together. But I think Dave Cullen's popularity and name recognition within the community, not only through his driving school but also as an announcer on radio, River 94.9, has actually helped him as well. And I can see that we've got two new councillors sitting there.
So with that, it's almost certain there'll be a total of 4 new councillors heading to the chamber. What do you think that'll mean for the dynamic of the new council?
I think it's going to be a very unconstructive council, and I think there's going to be a lot of complaints to the OIA I can see coming straight up, because I think if Marnie and Andrew Antonelli are together, they're pretty well sworn enemies, and I think that's just not going to wade well for each other. I think for their own sake, but also for the community, I'm quite concerned about the games that's going to be played, because you get elected to actually be there to represent the people and do the best thing, instead of actually having trench warfare that I think will happen now for the next 4 years.
One can only hope that bygones can be bygones, Cheryl. The council could become dysfunctional, and here we go again.
Yeah, that's my fear, and I just think it's very hard when people want to keep reporting the past. Some of the past is not true. It's just a bit of a statement that suited the narrative at the time, and I think that some old scores will be settled along the way.
I'm sure one thing that will be under the spotlight again, and that is the media policy that was introduced under administration. It was modified by the council just gone, and people still aren't happy with it. So I think that'll be coming up early in the agenda.
Oh, absolutely, because it'll be interesting to see what they do with the committees, whether they put the chairs back in place and have their own sort of portfolio properly with a media arm, or they stick with the status quo. And knowing the numbers in there with the new changes, I think there's going to be a big change to how things are going to be attempted to be run anyway from there.
Moving to the Ipswich West by-election, certainly an upset for the Labor Party. We talked about the strong campaign previously from the LNP and the selection of Darren Zano as their candidate. That was a bit of a masterstroke, wasn't it?
It was, and from what I've heard too, is they've even got another great candidate for the seat of Ipswich, so that'll be interesting to see how things roll out, because Ipswich is sitting on a 16.5% margin. So going on the results of the weekend, which you can't always judge a by-election by a whole statewide election, that seat's in trouble.
Did anyone in Labor see the swing coming?
They knew there would be a swing, because there's always a swing regardless of what's going on. And I think that people have got a few more issues on board with the cost of living and the crime, and what we read in the papers, sometimes it's not actual, it's just what's printed, as we know. And I think it's just a way that people have run campaigns, engaged with the community, and people feel that they've been listened to. So that's why they then go to the box and do what they do.
What happens now for Labor? How much will they dwell on this? And will there be an impact on policies going forward?
They'll do a review of what's occurred at Inala and Ipswich West, because no matter what, every election, whether you win, lose, or it's a hung parliament, you always have a review, because you always know that you can do better, and then you can actually try and make it even better and have better resources, better messages by the time we get round to October. And I feel that the government has listened to what has happened and actually will go back and review their own legislation to see what they can do to help the community.
With the Ipswich West by-election result, it'll certainly give the LNP a significant confidence boost. How do you think it will change their strategy plans?
We always find that when the LNP would win a seat, say back in 2012, they won Ipswich and Ipswich West, it does reinvigorate the members that they actually come out and have their meetings again, and they get a lot more volunteers, because traditionally Ipswich has been known as a Labor town, but with the changes of demographics, and as we know, a lot of people are moving to the city for housing affordability, it's changing the narrative that it's not just a Labor town anymore.
What will it mean for the state election in October?
It will mean that nobody could be taken for granted with their vote or having the opportunity to be listened to and having their concerns answered. So I think it's very important going forward that people in the community are listened to and not ignored, and projects that the city want and need are actually put on the list or completed.
Let's talk about the running of the election itself. Virtually as soon as booths closed at 6 o'clock on Saturday night, the ECQ was attracting some criticism, alleging a shortage of staff, long queues, as it turns out, a slow count, and running out of ballot papers in some booths. What did you find on your travels on Saturday?
I found on some of the booths that I worked on is that some people who had moved from Brisbane and they didn't understand that it wasn't a typical endorsed political party campaign. So they were asking what party people belonged to. They didn't understand what people were actually, their policy ideas. They were asking some of the candidates at the booth what they were standing for. And I think the three different ballot papers with three different ways to vote led to the increase in the amount of informals that we've seen.
Certainly would have been a bit of a challenge for first-time voters in Ipswich, along with the by-election in Ipswich West. What about the shortage of staff? I believe the Carolee booth had a long queue, a ride on 6 o'clock, and scrutineers weren't allowed in until after about a quarter to seven. Did that happen elsewhere, do you know?
Yeah, I also went past the Goodner St. Francis Xavier booth, and I had been told that the lineup that had been there from the school gate was right back to the police station then nearly the whole day. And everywhere else I heard there was long queues, people got fed up and they were willing to try and wear the fine than waiting up to an hour or 2 hours to express their own democratic right. And as Australians, you know, we all fought to have that, you know, that privilege. And a lot of people were sort of felt disenfranchised that they couldn't.
Well, the count is continuing. Can you take a guess as to when it might be finalised?
I think it'll take at least till Thursday and maybe Friday. And when you think about that, that's a terrible outcome. And the ECQ needs a review, not just an internal review. It needs an independent review to see where it's gone wrong, because the council election was no surprise. It's been slated for 4 years. So they know this was coming. Yes, we had two by-elections in the middle, but there should have been no surprises.
On that note, Cheryl Bromage, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for your insights and analysis, and thank you for speaking with Ipswich today.
Thanks, Al. It's been a pleasure.
And that's it for this episode. Don't forget to look for handy links in the show notes. Ipswich Today is supported by Kinetics, people-powered web hosting trusted by Australian businesses since 1999. This podcast is listener-supported. Please make a once-only gift or regular donation to help keep it online. Just go to ipswichtoday.com.au. Follow and stream this podcast from your favourite app, including iHeartRadio, or play Ipswich Today on smart speakers. Music is supplied by Purple Planet Music. This is Alan Roebuck. Thank you for listening. Enjoying Ipswich Today? Please share the love on your socials.